Hey there, welcome to episode 388 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and your host. Thank you so much for being with me today. And did you know there was a time when I thought everyone could access hunger, fullness, and satiety cues? I thought if one worked on recovering and repairing the relationship with food and body, then poof, cues would be there. And for many, that happens. Although there's never like a poof. It's something that takes time, usually years, to repair and rewire to access those cues. But here's the big but here. It took me way too long to appreciate that these non-diet tools that I was using were not going to work for every person's brain. Are you an ADHDer? Well, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. I regret that I didn't appreciate how your brain is just wired differently and has different needs and different strengths. I am so incredibly grateful for this upcoming conversation with Alita Storch. She is a dietitian, a therapist, and certified body trust provider, and is a leading expert in the field of ADHD nutrition. She specializes in providing neurodivergent, affirming, values-centered body liberation work with folks that have ADHD, disordered eating, a history of dieting, and autoimmune conditions. She's the owner of a group practice, Wise Heart Nutrition, and she's also the creator of a really kick-ass group program, Eating with ADHD Approach, which she developed as a resource for supporting ADHDers and understanding their brain and breaking out of the chaos in order to find more freedom and joy and make lasting changes in their relationship with food. I am so excited to be able to share this conversation that I have with Alita. And I have learned so much over the last 10 years about how if you have a neurodivergent brain, how the non-diet space has really been leaving you behind. And you deserve better. And I hope this conversation adds to a very small list of options for you that are focusing on body liberation and non-diet conversations instead of the regular old diet culture bullshit. Because just like everyone else, you deserve to have a relationship with food that feels at ease and brings joy and pleasure and satisfaction. Before we get to the conversation with Alita, I want to fill you in on just a few things. First up, I just got back from the very big nutrition conference. It's called FENCY, and you may be listening because we met there. So, hey, it's nice to get a chance to connect with you again. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for supporting me as I'm navigating into the sphere of an author. I had so many great conversations. Unfortunately, a lot of the presentations, you know, part of this conference is getting education because as dietitians, we have to always get this, but there weren't very many that were conversations on non-diet topics, eating disorders, even though there was a whole like eating disorder track. Many of these presentations were nowhere near what you deserve. So I think my academy needs to do better. And don't worry, I gave them all of my notes that I had taken the whole time. But just know that the academy doesn't represent the options. We have lots and lots of people out there that are wanting to help you with your complicated history with food. And so I just still am disappointed in what I was able to get as for some education. But like I said, I did get a chance to meet many dietitians who are doing this work. And the thing that I've noticed over the last 10 years is more and more dietitians are learning about how to help people without dieting in their training, in their undergraduate experience. I didn't get that. I had to learn it the hard way and break down crying in my boss's office because I realized that I was hurting people with diets. They don't have to go through all that. And I think that is wonderful. So just know there are more dietitians in training that are going to be coming out of school ready to help you with your complicated relationship with food. And that makes me so very hopeful. And the other announcement I want to make is this week, because I'm still kind of getting reacclimated to home after being at FENCY, I won't have another bonus episode this week, but I will be going back to that next week. But do you have a letter from food? Because this episode features a letter and I need more letters. So if you're new to the podcast, what we have listeners just like you do is we have you write a letter to food describing your complicated relationship. The letter we have this week, of course, is much briefer, but we also have ones that are much longer. And I would just want you to like type away on your notes app or write it down in your journal, write a letter to food about your complicated relationship and what you want to like see different. And I can help unpack your letter. And sometimes I invite a guest on like I did today. But send us your letter. You can do that at info@juliedillonrd.com. You can also submit it on my website, julieduffydillon.com. So I want to read your letter. Send it your way. And we are going to have a very quick sponsor break. But when we come back from that sponsor break, you're going to get to hear this episode's letter.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Welcome back. Here is this episode's letter. Dear Food, I will cut to the chase. My ADHD has been the biggest boulder in the road to my eating disorder recovery and trying to make intuitive eating work. My body doesn't know how to stop when hungry until it's in panic mode. Then I binge. Then I feel bad. This is exhausting. Can I ever recover? Sincerely, an ADHDer. All right, let's get to my conversation with Alita. Hey there, Alita. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julie. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so glad to finally meet you. And did you get a chance to read this letter?
I did. Yeah. Thank you for sending that.
Yeah, no problem. And well, this was a short and sweet one, wasn't it? It cut right to the chase.
Yes.
But when you were reading it, I'm curious, like I had some of my own like thoughts, but what was your impression about what this letter writer is experiencing?
Yeah. I mean, I think my first impression was like, oh my gosh, that could have been me like 10 years ago writing this.
Yeah.
And then also like, this sounds like so many of the people that come through my door in my business, that it just felt, not generic. That's not really the word I'm looking for, but like a collective experience of ADHD.
Yeah.
So I felt really connected to it. Yeah. And I guess like my first thought is that like recovery is incredibly rewarding and it's a complicated and exhausting process, like the writer mentioned, and even more so for folks with ADHD. And that's due to lots of reasons that I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Yes.
But I guess first to the person who wrote the letter, I want to say thank you for sharing and please know that you're not alone in feeling discouraged by intuitive eating and the recovery process and that is so common for ADHDers. And by reaching out and naming your struggle and by asking for support, you have already taken a massive step towards recovery. So I just want you to feel really proud of yourself for that. And then second, recovery is absolutely possible for ADHDers. And instead of working harder, I want to invite you and all the other ADHDers who are listening to start shifting towards working differently instead of harder and starting to understand your brain and starting to work with it because it is really unique.
Okay, so I'm writing some notes because I have a bunch of questions already. But first up, like why because I don't experience ADHD. I have people in my life who experience it, and I appreciate we have some differences in how we experience like just our body and body like communication. But like what in your experience, and I wanted to mention something too, how you were saying like this client is, or the, not this client, this letter writer, there were some like similarities that you experienced. I always say like, it's like textbook because like so many people in this space of like complicated histories with food, they'll describe all the shame and isolation, but yet like how they're relating to food is like how we're hearing all our other clients talk about food.
Yes.
And I wonder if this person was kind of textbook in that way. Like, yeah, this is how it shows up. Like, you're in it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So your hope is like validating, right? Like not
shaming.
That, like your experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, like so many people can relate, can see where you're.
Yeah. So what is the difference that you're seeing? Because I know you said that you could relate to this letter and then with your clients too, but like, how is recovery different when you also have ADHD?
Yeah. So much of like typical or traditional recovery is really rooted in connecting with your body, right? Especially like the intuitive eating approach of recovery is about tuning into your body and noticing and then being able to respond. A lot of it is about like organizing and planning and making sure that you, right, like have food available and that you have a meal plan and you're following it, that sort of stuff. And with ADHD, one of the biggest issues is something called interoceptive awareness. So really being able to like feel those body cues, hunger and fullness. ADHDers like don't really have that skill. And it's something that can be developed, but often our brain is going to kind of override those body cues. So if we are just trying to follow our body cues, we're never actually going to eat. And then when we do eat, we're never going to stop. So kind of that idea that recovery is this like attuned process can leave ADHDers feeling like they've failed, like they're never going to get there because often we need those external reminders. And in eating disorder recovery, external reminders are often seen as, oh, well, you're doing it wrong or that's diet culture. So that's a really, really big one. And I'd say another one is like the emotional dysregulation for ADHDers is really big. We really, really struggle with emotions and with navigating them. And food can be such a helpful tool for navigating emotions, right? For soothing emotional eating, that sort of stuff. And so if we don't have other tools to navigate emotions, then it can be really hard to move through some of the eating disorder. And then of course, like executive dysfunction, I assume that people who are listening to this episode are somewhat familiar with it, right? But like organization and planning and remembering to eat, all of those pieces get in the way of being able to actually nourish our bodies. So we're often coming into the day undernourished, and then that can lead to that cycle of binge eating. So it's a lot of unintentional restriction followed by binge eating. And that can be a really exhausting cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine so much, not that I would imagine, like so much of like just taking your care of yourself with food is using executive function. Think about like meal planning, so going to the grocery store, making sure you have what you need on hand. And making all the choices that comes with that. Yeah. That just seems like that's all in that part of the brain.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Right. All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And something that I will totally admit, this was maybe like around 2017, 2018, when I really started to appreciate how I was missing the mark with whether it was intuitive eating or any of that kind of any other kind of non-diet tool, like thinking that everybody had like the same kind of access to hunger and fullness cues. And maybe like the eating disorder experience got in the way of that, but everyone would like repair it in a similar way. And as I started to learn about neurodivergent experiences and get to know people who had a brain that was wired differently than mine, I was like, oh yeah. And I can appreciate now, like, yeah, for some people relying on hunger and fullness is just not going to be the first step, second, or a step, you know?
Right.
And how crappy that so many of us that do intuitive eating work or other non-diet stuff that like, we're just going right to it, right to the hunger fullness as like, this is the majority of it. So when I read this letter, I was like, of course you feel like frustrated. Of course you feel like you can't recover because like the framework that you've been given, whether that it was even taught correctly, because I have a feeling Elise and Evelyn wouldn't agree with what I was doing anyway, but like, there's like lots of different options. So with all that being said, and like appreciating how recovery looks different for like this letter writer or anyone who can identify with this person, what would you recommend are some like first steps forward to like start the repair process?
Good question. And I think also mentioning, like, I love the intuitive eating framework. I think it's brilliant and it's beautiful, and especially the ways that they have shifted it over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I think it can still be such a good foundation. And for a lot of people, whether it's like neurodivergence or any other, right, difference in experience, difference in access, being able to take the pieces that fit. And then the pieces that don't feel right, being able to like adjust them or adapt them or mold them so that they do work, right? So it's kind of like a, like, how do we rework this model so that it works for your brain versus completely throwing it out? So for someone with ADHD, I like to use like a pyramid framework. And some of that is based on intuitive eating and Ellen Satter. And it's the idea of kind of assessing, like, are you eating frequently enough throughout the day? And I would say, like, 99% of ADHDers are not eating regularly and consistently. That ADHDers tend to go way too long without eating, whether that's because of stimulant medications that get in the way of appetite or getting really hyper-focused or hyper-fixated on what we're doing. And it's like, okay, I'll get to lunch later. And then it's 6 hours later. Or just like not having food available because we didn't get to the grocery store or we don't have exactly what we want. So there are all these different factors that can get in the way. And if we're not eating like every 3 to 4 hours is like an average, right? It's going to depend on the person and the day. Then we're not getting our basic need, our basic food need met, and we're going into the day undernourished. And then that is going to lead to that binge eating later. And even if you're not experiencing binge eating later at night, right, like not eating consistently throughout the day can have consequences in terms of, like, it can affect our cognitive function. It can make ADHD symptoms worse. It can make us more emotional. And so, yeah, just being able to really meet that basic need is so important. And so ADHDers often have a lot of alarms set. I know a lot of people will say, like, set an alarm, it will work, right? That can be one tool. It can be great. It's not always going to work. I really like to encourage folks to have food visually available. So having really easy grab-and-go snacks available, like on your desk, I have like pretzels right here. So that if I am super focused on work and I see the pretzels, then I can check in with my body and think, okay, am I hungry? And that might mean asking myself, when was the last time I ate? Right? So my body might not tell me. And if it's been 4 hours, then like, yeah, I'm probably hungry. I should eat those pretzels. But we have to make things really easy. You have to make them visually available. Otherwise, we're never going to remember. And a lot of that comes with challenging diet culture's idea that like packaged, processed, easy access foods are somehow bad. And so I would say that is like the bulk of the work that I start on is challenging diet culture there. And then also challenging this idea that you have to be intuitive and that you can't use external reminder seat. So that's kind of a long-winded answer.
No, that was so wonderful. Yeah, that's really great. And I can appreciate some of the people I've talked to over the years and people that I personally know that have ADHD, and that's the type of things that they've had to just rely on. And I'm curious about something you said earlier. Because you mentioned that like body awareness can be developed over time when you have ADHD or interceptive awareness can be developed over time, maybe just a little differently. Can you give an example of like how that works, like how someone can develop that?
Yeah. And so interoceptive awareness can be anything from like feeling hunger or feeling thirst, to even just like noticing your heart rate, which can tell you, right, like, oh, I'm anxious or I'm nervous or I'm excited. And if anyone isn't familiar with interoceptive awareness, I recommend checking out Gina Mateer, who's a registered dietitian that really focuses on this topic specifically. It's fascinating. But one of the ideas behind it is that you can develop interoceptive awareness in areas outside of food, and that will actually translate over because it's like a muscle, right? A general muscle that's going to help with all of these things. So one of the activities that I like to have clients do is to like close their eyes and try and locate their heartbeat without touching their body, without touching their heart. And I really struggle with this. And so like most ADHDers are like, what the heck are you talking about? I don't know how to do that. But starting to like build this as a practice can be really helpful in then being more attuned to your internal body cues. And then there are easier ones like putting your hands in cold water and just sort of like noticing what that feels like, and then putting them in warm water and noticing how it feels different. It's a lot of like experimentation that can happen. And then as you build that muscle, when you start to try and pay attention to hunger and fullness cues, it can feel easier to tune in, to go inwards. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's super helpful. And there's something about how diet culture really probably prevents so many people with ADHD from doing some of that work. Something I write about in my book is like doing activities to help promote that mind-body connection outside of food, because we can replicate that. Like if we start to build the mind-body connection outside of something that has all of this, like these rules around it, and we're doing a bad job if we don't do it exactly right, which doesn't even exist anyway. We can replicate it. So, and we can be gentler with ourselves. This is so helpful. And I know there are going to be people listening who are like, I want to work with Alita. She totally gets me. Where could people find you if they want to know more about you and look into working with you?
Yes. Please come find me. I have a community, a membership called Nourished. And it's like a monthly membership. There's a lot of members. They're ADHDers. And we really focus on healing your relationship with food, with your body, and your brain. And so that can be found. My website is wiseheartnutrition.com. And so there's a link there. And then you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is @the_ADHD_RD. And that has links to website and everything else as well. We would love to see more people join the community.
Oh, I would love that. Well, of course, we'll put everything in the show notes for folks so they can easily find it. And thank you so much for this. I really appreciate this. I learned so much in this like 15-minute conversation. So I'm so, so glad that we had a chance to talk. And I look forward to hearing what everybody else feels about like this episode too. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Alita Storch all on ADHD. And I hope you feel more powerful in recovering from your complicated history with food, because you too deserve to feel at home in your body and to feel a relationship with food that is pleasurable, satisfying, and, you know, where you can eat whatever you want without feeling any kind of guilt. So thank you so much for listening, like I said. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you haven't left a review yet. If you left us a rating and review, it really helps us grow. It helps more people find us, and we really, really appreciate it. While you're at it, hitting follow or subscribe is another great way for us to reach more people. So thank you in advance for doing just that. All right. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, there is no bonus episode this week, but I will be back next week with a new episode, and I cannot wait. Until then, take care.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.